It's the first of its kind, a survey that looks at the learning habits of entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurial education is said to be an area that's lacking in South Africa and which may in large part be responsible for many small businesses failing before they can even realise their potential. It's the inaugural Heavy Chef Survey. To tell us about it, I'm joined in studio by Louis Janser van Rensburg. He's the chairman of the Heavy Chef Foundation. Thanks very much, Louis, for joining us in studio. So before we get into the survey, what's the Heavy Chef Foundation's interest in this topic? What does your organization do?
So the Heavy Chef Foundation is the not-for-profit arm of an education company called Heavy Chef. It comes from the saying, never trust a skinny chef. We teach entrepreneurs. We inspire them to start things and we empower them to succeed.
Super.
It's as straightforward as that.
So you say this is the most comprehensive study into the learning habits of entrepreneurs in South Africa ever conducted. So just tell us how many entrepreneurs you canvassed and what was involved in the process.
What we sought out to do through the Heavy Chef Foundation is to provide access to learning experiences for disconnected entrepreneurs. So it was obvious for us that to understand what the learning needs are for entrepreneurs, we had to conduct an in-depth study. And that's what we did. And the way that we designed the study was to, A, give us a strong data set, which is the stats side of things, but also hear stories, which was the more qualitative, thematic element. We always say the stats tell you what things are and how things are, but it's the stories that tell you why things that they are. So we studied over 4,000 entrepreneurs across the country, from Polokwane to Khayelitsha, but also the CBDs of Pretoria, of Joburg and Cape Town, across the country. All backgrounds, all qualifications, all genders, everybody that we can kind of, you know, find to ask questions.
Yes. And
honestly, the stats side of things was just short of 3,000 people that actually filled in the electronic survey that went out. We partnered with a company called Yoko,
okay,
who are payment specialists, and
yes,
they had a database of vetted business owners that we,
yes,
could study. But we then approached over 900 entrepreneurs from across the country to interact with them on an individual basis in small group formats.
Yes.
And it's fascinating to listen to their stories and really understand what the commonalities are, but also what the differences are between the different.
Sounds very thorough. Over what time period?
About 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah, this has been quite a long study for us. It's consumed
so nearly
us.
As long as a pregnancy. So the thrust of what you investigated was how entrepreneurs learn, because that's absolutely critical, because obviously in terms of understanding techniques on how to run a business, how to better know your market that you're serving and so on. So what did you learn about how entrepreneurs learn?
Well, we had two objectives. The one is to think about entrepreneurs as those that run businesses, who start businesses and run businesses. But we always had in mind to think about entrepreneurialism. So in other words, the habits and behaviors that are typically associated with entrepreneurs, but are skill sets that you actually want to impart on broader society as well. So people that work for companies, you know, people like yourselves, to think creatively, to think as problem solvers, these are universal skill sets that we believe will be exponentially in demand looking towards the future. So the study revealed a whole bunch of things, a lot of fascinating things, but there were really five insights that stood out for us. The first is just, we call it a masterclass of one, but what that actually means is just entrepreneurs prefer to learn by themselves. They spend most of their times, 2 o'clock at night, wherever they are, in between work hours,
yes,
in between actually trying to earn money, to go onto YouTube, go onto all these different platforms, speak to other entrepreneurs to learn. But they do this by themselves predominantly. And they prefer it that way. When we ask them about the effectiveness of the learning, learning by myself was rated the second highest contribution and a level of effectiveness of learning.
Wow.
So that was just one of the insights, but there were four others as well, which were just fascinating to delve into.
Take us through those.
Well, the second one is what we call learning in the gaps. Entrepreneurs want to spend most of their time working on their business. So they're not interested in going away on 6-week courses, on 1-year programs. They want to be working in their business, and they will find every opportunity they can to find small pieces of information to digest and,
yes,
apply it on their business. The third insight is learning in the trenches, so that they learn best while working on their business by making mistakes, by through trial and error, through practice. That's also how they share their learnings, is to do something and show other entrepreneurs how to do something. Mm-hmm. That's how they learn best. The fourth insight is learning that keeps the engine going. They're not interested in learning things like creativity and the soft skills, so to speak. They're interested in learning, how do I manage my money? How do I manage my people? And how do I, you know, all the administrative kind of skill sets, marketing and sales being one of them. So they want to learn, how do I get money into the business?
Yes.
So, but we do know, as you know, if you review the academic literature, is that the soft skills and the kind of creative thinking, problem solving, critical thinking skills, which the entrepreneurs already self-identify as creative thinkers, etc., those are very important if we want to respond to the demands of the future, the fourth industrial revolution, as many have mentioned. But they're not interested in actively learning about that. So we often tell educators, you know, teach finance, teach marketing, teach, you know, HR and talent management, but teach it in a way that cultivates creativity, that cultivates critical thinking. So use it almost like as a Trojan horse to get them ready for, you know, for that skill set that we know will be important looking towards the future.
So in the main, as entrepreneurs seek to learn more to make their business more effective, what do they tend to be looking for? What type of information, and what's the preference in terms of the medium used? I think you've already spoken to that around them using the internet and so on.
There are some discrepancies when we, as much as we say entrepreneurs learn by themselves, some do it because they're just by definition independent thinkers, right? And they're the people who call the shots, so they trust themselves more than they trust anyone else. But there is a big segment of entrepreneurs that learn by themselves out of necessity, because of barriers and constraints to access learning.
Yes.
And what we found is, with a number of these informal entrepreneurs, the level of self-organization is very high. We met up with a group of entrepreneurs in Alex that they call themselves fashion entrepreneurs, because they have this pretty cool hip-hop label that they've business that they've started.
Yes.
And the way they learn is, they have a cell phone and they watch YouTube videos, but they share the data costs on that specific cell phone, and they group around five or six of these guys around the cell phone, and they watch the video together. Right, saving costs on the airtime side of things.
Makes sense.
But then they share learnings between each other. And that kind of like informal way of sharing learnings, this isn't structured. This isn't a formal academic program per se. There's no qualification at the end of that process. It's totally informal in nature. They get so much value out of that.
Yes.
But what was interesting in seeing them interact is the level of dignity that they feel when they start interacting like that, because they're imparting knowledge to each other, right? And that's the most valuable thing that you can give of yourself, one of the most valuable things that you can give to yourself. So it's been fascinating to see that level of self-organization with these entrepreneurs.
And in any event, the means justify the end.
Exactly. They do what is needed to do.
That's right. Makes sense. So there's a statistic that was shared by former Trade and Industry Minister Rob Davies to say that some 70% of small businesses failed within their first 2 years of existence. So to what extent did you find that some entrepreneurs don't actually make an effort to learn as they should, confident that they can rely on their own basic knowledge alone?
I think what we found was that they were actually very engaged, active, always on learners. You know, every single entrepreneur that we spoke to and met with and surveyed identified as such. They have a level of self-awareness around where knowledge can be found quick and cheap, and how to the ability to use that knowledge. The area that we felt was concerning is that few of them actually shared that knowledge with others. It felt like it was quite an isolated way of learning. They do share it, you know, but only with a handful of others, specifically people that they feel are like them, that understand their space of running a business in Khayelitsha.
Yes.
Know? But they won't necessarily share it with family, and they won't necessarily share it with their kids even. And that was quite an interesting kind of almost like disconnect that we identified in the study. What was even more interesting is we know as educators of entrepreneurs, and as entrepreneurs ourselves, one of the most valuable sources of learning is other entrepreneurs. So you want to make sure that you're always in proximity to other entrepreneurs as often as possible.
Yes.
But when we spoke to entrepreneurs in informal areas, the study showed that on average they have between 0 and 2 other entrepreneurs that they can actually have conversations
yes.
with. That's not enough.
To what extent is that a survival skill? I mean, especially you wouldn't speak to somebody who's doing something similar to what you're doing.
Yeah, I think it is very much a survival skill. You know, it's again, you alluded to it. You know, at the end of the day, you find learning where you can
yes.
and you basically take out of it as much as you can. Mm. And when I say we found that entrepreneurs are active learners, that's really what I mean. They can walk in the street and they see something that no one else is seeing and they get a learning from it. They'll have tea with their uncle and there's a conversation. The uncle shares an anecdote about something in his childhood. And there's something in that conversation that triggers an insight for the entrepreneur and they identify that and they apply that immediately. It's very unintentional in that respect, but fascinating.
Louis, there's a debate that continues to rage out there. What is it that entrepreneurs need more of? Is it funding or knowledge?
It's knowledge. Like, there's no two ways about it. The data clearly shows, not our data, I mean third-party data, information from the World Bank, from the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, etc. There is funding available. A conversation can be had around the access to the funding, the
yes.
ability to get the funding, definitely. But knowledge empowers you. It's the fuel that fires all other activities,
absolutely.
Including your, and if you think about what goes into the process of applying for funding, it's, if you apply for government funding, it's very much a business plan and it's administrative paperwork. But if you apply for private funding, it's articulation of a vision. It's articulation of, what problems you solve, et cetera. And those things you cannot do without education and knowledge. So that is the foundation. That's clear in our study. And I think the academic literature backs that up as well.
You're very clear. So you're a PhD researcher working on the future of learning. Mm. What is it that not just entrepreneurs, but all of us need to be doing to remain relevant in business and as employees of a business?
I think there's so many things because this is a puzzle that has many pieces to it. But there's a couple of things for me that's close to my heart. The one is that we need to be better at reflecting about our own process of our entrepreneur journey. I speak a lot to entrepreneurs, encourage them to start an entrepreneur journal to write about their experiences.
Yes.
It's very therapeutic as well. And especially if you're an entrepreneur, in an informal area, you're faced with a lot of traumas beyond just trying
running
to
your business.
Right. The academic literature is clear that there's a lot of social benefit, personal development benefit when you reflect on things. So that is a small thing that I often encourage, other entrepreneurs to do, but I don't see that often. When we asked entrepreneurs about how often do they reflect about their journey as an entrepreneur, specifically writing about it, in a journal or whatever that is, very few, very, very few do that. I also want to, like to encourage other entrepreneurs, especially parents, to have dinner table conversations about, about their journey as entrepreneurs with their kids.
Yes.
Especially with their daughters. The research also showed that the male entrepreneurs are more comfortable to share learnings with their sons, and the female entrepreneurs, when you ask them, well, how did you learn about starting a business? Fewer of them said that they learned from family.
Yes.
And you want to encourage that it becomes a bit of a habit.
Yes.
When we spoke to entrepreneurs in Rustenburg, for example, we asked them about what are the dinner table conversations like, and they said, gambling and survival. Those were the two things that they mentioned. And it's, that's an outcome of socioeconomic challenges and circumstances, and we all know what the legacy is of where a lot of that comes from.
Of course.
But that needs to change. And I want to encourage people to talk about this stuff a lot more often.
People are listening, Louis.
I'm hoping.
So based on your findings, how can government and the private sector better intervene to help improve the fortunes of entrepreneurs and small business? We know that this is a topical conversation as these economic actors are believed to be the game changers for economic growth and job creation. But from your experience, can the interventions be improved?
Yes, it can. And I've we have very clear ideas about that, and the data backs it up. The type of learning that entrepreneurs value and trust is community-led, self-organized, grassroots learning. So they want to engage with education institutions that are in their community or in their area. They want to engage in a way that is informal in nature, that is practical, that is short format, so to speak. So if we think about government and private sector, we know that a lot of the budgets are predominantly going to your formal education institutions. And rightfully so, those are strong foundational institutions.
Yeah.
But I would like to see a lot more of that budget being shifted to empower grassroots organizations. The entrepreneur ecosystem, as far as education ecosystem is concerned, there are hundreds of these small community-led entrepreneur education programs and organizations that need support, and to do what they do, just do it better and do it at a larger scale. And I don't think it's really on the radar. The focus is very much on the TVET colleges, on higher education, as far as the education of entrepreneurs are concerned.
Yes.
I would shift a lot of that money more towards the NGOs, community, grassroots entrepreneur education organizations that are in the communities, they know the street names, they know the local businesses, they know who the mentors are within that community that they can pull in to teach other entrepreneurs. Those are the type of organizations that need to be supported more. So I'll throw a lot more money towards them. Currently, there's very, very little money going to them.
That was Louis Janssen van Rensburg. He's the chairman of the Heavy Chef Foundation.